As these citizen protests spread around the region, do you find yourself like us, wishing you knew more about Bahrain, Yemen, Algeria, and understanding what's at stake for the U.S. in each country? Dr. Mary Jane Deeb, Chief of the African and Middle East Division at the Library of Congress, is here to help us out and explain all of this. Dr. Deeb, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. We should say at the outset that the views you express on our air are your own, and you're not speaking for the Library of Congress.
So absolutely.
Let's start with Bahrain. We just heard from Michael Slackman that the situation is volatile there, with some demonstrators now demanding the king step down. And you remind us that Bahrain was not even a kingdom until 2002.
That's the case. Bahrain is an archipelago of 33 different islands, the biggest of which is the Bahrain Island. And the U.S., of course, has the Fifth Fleet stationed there. And it's been there, you know, for many decades. It's a country with 1.2 million people. And as you pointed out in the report, the majority is Shiite. But the demonstrations today may have more than one reason for taking place.
What are they?
Well, in the first place, the economy is one of the fastest growing economies in the world. And the interesting thing here is that there is, at the same time, high unemployment. So there are economic reasons, because young people with education has got one of the highest literacy rates in the Arab world. Young people with education are not finding jobs. But there is also resentment from the Shiite majority that is being ruled by a Sunni minority, that it is not playing a role that reflects its numbers in the population. In other words, that all the top positions are monopolized by the family of Al Khalifa.
So they want a more representative democracy.
Yes, and there is also a religious element, and we mustn't, unlike Egypt and Tunisia, I think Islamist groups are also part of this demonstration, because the king has been modernizing the country very, very rapidly. And again, as in Iran, when the Shah was modernizing the country very rapidly, some of the clergy were resisting this rapid modernization. So there is also a religious undertone here.
And at the same time, you remind us that it is a service economy. It doesn't have much oil. And I want to tell our listeners, too, that we have a map on our website, hereandnow.org, where you can see the countries we're talking about and also get some key demographics about each country. But I want to move on now, though, to Yemen, because today marks the seventh straight day of protests there, violent clashes with more than 40 reported injured. And the president is calling protesters anarchists and meeting urgently with tribal chiefs. But according to Thomas Lipman of the Council on Foreign Relations, Yemen's president is in many ways similar to ousted Egyptian President Mubarak. He's a military guy in a suit. What do the demonstrators want there? Are there similar issues about this population bulge and no jobs?
That of course, is the underlying reason for all these protests in all these countries. Yemen, on the other hand, in contrast to Bahrain, is one of the poorest countries in the Arab world. And its population, again, unlike Bahrain, is around 24 million. And a lot of those young people are unemployed, but also unskilled. You also have a regional divide between North and South Yemen, and an ongoing rebellious movement in Hadramaut. You also have a religious divide, with Yazidis being feeling that they've been marginalized in the society.
And you remind us that Yemen, until 1990, was two countries, North and South Yemen. But I also want to say, too, Yemen has a particular interest to the U.S. because it's believed that it's an important base for al-Qaeda. And according to news reports, the U.S. has been carrying out targeted strikes. So is al-Qaeda a factor in the demonstrations, or does that make the U.S. a little more concerned about what's going on in Yemen?
I think the U.S. is very concerned, of course, because of the Qaeda. But I doubt that the Qaeda is very much involved in the protests. Qaeda has tried to unsettle various countries in the region, but it is not behind, you know, demands for jobs, for training, for education. It is a movement that wants to institute Islamic law and Islamic rule.
And
is not what the Yemenis are doing right now.
Oh, mm-hmm. And Yemen, I should say, was also the site of the USS Cole bombing. Now let's turn to Libya. It shares borders right between Egypt and Tunisia. They've just ousted their longtime dictators. But it's been ruled for 4 decades by Muammar Gaddafi. And protesters, though, have taken to the streets demanding change as well. You know, it's Bush relations with Libya have improved during the Bush administration. What's the country's strategic importance to us now, and what could these protests mean for our relationship with Libya?
Strategically, Libya, of course, is one of the closest countries to Europe. It also has some of the best oil, the sweetest oil in terms of quality. It's much, much superior to that in the Arabian Peninsula. It also exports most of its oil to Europe. Libya also has given up its weapons of mass destruction a few years ago, and was hailed as an important country, having given up and having moved towards democracy. Libya, however, is divided physically. It's a small population of about 6 million people on the Mediterranean coast, across from Italy. It is divided into three regions, Tripolitania, Cyrenaica, and Fezzan. Unlike Tunisia, there is no population centers where the country's population can meet. They really are divided into three areas, with Tripolitania dominating the region. And the protesters have always been from Cyrenaica, where the previous ruler of Libya, the King Idris, hail from. So we have protesters who are not really linked physically to each other the way they were in Tunisia and in Egypt, but are more spread out. And you have a very ruthless man in power, Gaddafi, who would have no hesitance whatsoever in cracking down and using the military and the security forces to crack down on the population.
So each country has a very different character and ruler to it. And I want to tell our listeners again to go to our website to learn more about the countries we've spoken about, as well as Algeria, Iran. They're all experiencing some form of uprising. And if you go to our website, you'll see a great interactive map that will give you some key demographics about each country. But I want to thank you, Dr. Mary Jane Deeb, for bringing us up to speed on this. You are the chief of the African and Middle East Division at the Library of Congress. Thank you.
Thank you.